celebration of the Holy Eucharist this evening begins on page 355 of the Red Privilege. Page 355. In the middle of the page for the season of Lent. Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
His mercy endures forever.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts this evening by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. On the back of the service bulletin, peace before us. Maundy Thursday, the contemporary version on the bulletin insert. Almighty Father, whose dear Son on the night before he suffered instituted the sacrament of his body and blood, mercifully grant that we may receive it thankfully in remembrance of Jesus Christ our Lord, who in these holy mysteries gives us a pledge of eternal life, and who now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Please be seated now, if possible, for the evening.
A reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male, You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of their houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanksgiving. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord
in the presence of all his people,
in the courts of the Lord's house,
in the midst of beautiful Jerusalem.
Hallelujah. Please remain seated now for St. Paul.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is the word of the Lord.
Hymn 577.
Amen. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has faith does not need to wash, except for the feet, but is entirely clean. Do not need to wash, and you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." And after he washed their feet, he put on his robe and had returned to the table. He said to them, "You know what I have done to you. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. If so, I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed, so you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you new commandments, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Thank you. Please be seated if possible. About 45 minutes ago, my whole attitude shifted. There's such intensity, there's such sacramentalness wrapped up about this evening. Which way do we do it, and how are we going to do it, and what about this, and what about that? And there are people who are not here tonight, deliberately, because they're afraid of tonight. And yet, we're just talking about feet. We're just talking about feet. We're just talking about daffodils. We're talking about daffodils and feet and loaves of bread and water and couscous and the parish hall. We're just talking about feet. Just feet is all we're talking about. What's the deal? We're talking about feet and daffodils and couscous and bread and wine. What's the deal? So my whole attitude shifted and I started giggling. And some of me is still giggling, you see, because we're still just talking about feet. And yet, oh, you've heard the story, because everybody that ever does a sermon sooner or later tells the story. That once upon a time, there was a rabbi who was good and holy and wise. And he had a number of disciples with him. And every year, on a special day, at a special time, he would leave the village where they lived and he would go out into the woods and he would build a fire and he would say special prayers. And because he built the fire in a special way and he said the prayers in a special way, then God did not destroy the world because he said those prayers. And it came to pass that the rabbi died. And it came to pass then that special day came around. And the new rabbi remembered it was the special day, and he remembered he was supposed to go out into the woods. So we went out into the woods and said the special prayers and made a fire. But he said, as he made the fire, I don't remember the special way to make the fire, Lord, but I hope this is enough and you won't destroy the world. And it was enough, and God did not destroy the world throughout the lifetime of that rabbi. And it came to pass that he died, and the next rabbi came along, and he remembered the special day. And so he remembered that he was supposed to go into the woods on the special day and go to the special place and say prayers. He didn't remember what else was supposed to happen. He didn't know. So when the special day came, he went off to the special day in the woods, the special place in the woods, and he said the special prayers. And then he said, I hope that's enough, God, because I remember what else was supposed to happen. He didn't tell me. And it was enough, and God didn't destroy the world. And it came to pass, as years went on, that he died, and the next fourth rabbi down the road came along, and he remembered the special day, and he remembered he was supposed to do something on the special day. And so he just kind of went for a walk in the woods. And while he walked in the woods, he said to God, I know it's a special day, and I know I'm supposed to go to some special place, and I know I'm supposed to do something special, but I don't know that part of the story. All I know is I'm supposed to go in the woods on the special day. I hope that's enough, and you won't destroy the world. And God said it was enough. And God did not destroy the world through the lifetime of that rabbi. And it came to pass that he died, and we came to the fifth rabbi along the line. And he remembered that there was a special day. So when the special day came, he woke up and he looked at the sun and he said, well, I know it's a special day for some reason. I hope that's enough, God, and you won't destroy the world. And God didn't. And it came to pass that he died. So the sixth rabbi in the story came along. And he no longer remembered the special day, and he no longer remembered where he was supposed to go, and he no longer remembered what he was supposed to do if he got to where he was supposed to go, and he no longer remembered the fire, and he no longer remembered the prayer, so he just looked up. It's the second time this week I've done that. He didn't remember anything else. So I looked up at God and he said, Lord, I don't remember anything else. All I remember is the story of it. And I hope that's enough. Because knowing the story is enough. Even strips of cloth are important. Even feet are important. Even bread and wine. And this night is important. We lose something with our black curtains, you see. We can't watch the quiet of the twilight come. The day end. The sunset. And the quiet of the evening is when God walked through the garden in Genesis. And the quiet of twilight is when Israel slaughtered the lambs this night. And the quiet of this twilight as the full moon rises is the night when God walks. And that's the story we remember. Under this springtime full moon as the night comes, and the future is unknown and the present is filled with death and sacrifice. Why dare think this night is different than any other spring night over the last 5,000 years, because it's not. So Israel gathers as the sun sets and the full moon rises and slaughters the lambs, not knowing what the future will be, but knowing only that they are gathered as a community and knowing only that whatever is going to happen in the future is in God's hands, not theirs. And God says to them, you remember this night. As the twilight comes, you remember the blood splattered on the sand and on your doors. You remember the unknown future you faced. And so, what difference now as we gather here with an unknown future? Except we remember the story of friends gathered to remember that night. Weird dinner party, arguing with who's going to sit closest to him, watching to see who's dipping the bread in what so they know who's going to betray. No one knowing what the future is going to be except the one sitting in their midst who looks at them and says, you're my friends. I don't call you servants. I call you my friends. Making friendship holy. Making meals holy. If you're going to walk into an unknown future, who's going to be there with you? Except your friend. Three. 3-year-old William Cole is strapped to a gurney last night in the emergency room, and he's not sure what's going to happen at all, and he looks like a refugee from the worst mental health institute in the world, wrapped up in a blanket, and he can't move. And the doctor keeps saying, "Don't be afraid, I'm going to turn you into a burrito." And William goes, "No, I don't want to be a burrito." And he can't move at all, and all he can do is move his eyes, and he just watches his eyes to look at his grandfather and his mother. "Is it okay? Is it okay?" "No, it's not." "No, it's not. He's going to turn me into a burrito." But his eyes never left me or his mother, facing into an unknown future. All you can do is watch those you love. All you can do is watch for your friends. In a time of chaos and death and upheaval, our Lord gathers with his friends and says, "What you have is this now. This. And hold on to it." And so across 2 millennia, in great cathedrals, soldiers dying on battlefields, small log cabins, hospital beds, couples getting married in June, people have come together around the world with that little bit of bread and that little bit of wine. I may not really know you, and you may not really know me. Movie once of a matador getting ready to go to a bullfight. And with great ceremony, he got dressed. Suit of lights, I think they call that thing that a matador wears, right? And in theory, you may not have noticed this, but in the vesting room before a service, choir and clergy get dressed with great solemnity as they prepare for Andilu, of course, or at once. Liturgy is what people dare to do. Liturgy is when people dare to speak to God and not die. So with great solemnity, we get dressed back there. Before we enter an unknown future. With great solemnity each day, you and I get dressed, entering an unknown future. think of the foot washing that way. We're only talking about feet and daffodils and couscous. But as these holy 3 days begin, we undress our feet and wash them. Oh, I never let anybody do that to me. I remember a night in Fairbanks 7 to 10 years ago, when in one evening there'd been a murder, a death in the hospital, and a death in the apartments over there, all Farewell. By the time I got up, I caught up with the death in the apartments over there near Island Homes. I went flying in the apartment. Doors open. And there in the bedroom where he died was the man that had died. And his friends were there beside him, starting to wash his feet. Don't think no one's not going to wash your feet. Someone did it when you were younger. And someone will do it later. In a world of power struggles and who's in charge, the church asks those who are always given to the temptation of thinking they're in charge of something, the clergy, to wash the feet of the congregation. So I invite the altar party to come down. The altar party to come down. That we might remember whose servants we are. And while we were doing this, for a variety of reasons, some people cannot do this. So there's also smudging, same meaning, happening up there through Beverly and Linda's ministry. Well, Mary Ellen plays music. Come have a seat. Come have a seat.
Thank you. 32.
Thank you.
59. No, no.
Thank you.
the season of Lent begins with a reminder that we are but dust. And yet, how loved dust is. The next to the last evening of Lent reminds us that even feet are important and loved. Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Always.
Share that with each other, seen and unseen.